take a deep breath, take the higher road. That's what they always say, as if they know the way. They won't take it from me. But don't ever doubt yourself, it's life ain't just a dream. You make your own, so kick and scream. The people move alike with a never-ending force. You never had the chance, so what you waiting for? The day has come, my friend, cause this is war.
Welcome to Nurse Q&A on Nurses Out Loud Talk Radio. This is our show where we take questions from our listeners and address on air today what you have been sending us. And if you haven't sent us in any concerns, please send it to nurses@americaoutloud.com. On air today, we will be addressing a topic that is a great concern to a large number of our listeners. And that's the topic of healthy dieting and the drugs that are on the market right now that purport to be able to help with rapid weight loss like Ozempic. There are so many different types of diets out there in the world, and those who have tried many of them may be frustrated with why you feel like you never get the results that you want or they don't last. But I want to remind you that all of us are individuals and we should not be surprised when we have different outcomes because we are made uniquely different and have our very own life experiences that do contribute to what works and what does not work or why we may actually have some mental health components that could go into it that could even be contributing to your dieting issues. So when the media propels news that leads the audience to believe there could be a weight loss miracle pill, of course, that's going to get the attention of the population. So we're going to address that today because a lot of people are asking about that. Today, I have with me Nurse Jody and some great nurse appearances as well, some guest nurse appearances with Nurse David Wayne and Nurse Tori Jensen. So I'm going to start this off with, according to Forbes magazine for 2024, they listed the top 9 weight loss programs in America. And I'm going to list those real quick and we're going to address some of them as we just talk on today. Noom is their number one and they go from there in their top 9. Simple, Weight Watchers, Reverse Health, Keto Cycle, Nutrisystem, Defasting, Perfect Body, and Beyond Body. But today, thankfully, we have with us a nutritionist who actually has I'll let her review her credentials, but she has some insight that we're going to really benefit from today. And Nurse David Wayne is going to help us look at the psychiatric impact and possible side effects of some of these diets. So if you're out there and you're a nurse or wanting to be a nurse, remember we are patient advocates, and this is part of being within this profession. Nurses are those that have a desire to relieve the suffering and oppressed of this world, because there will always be the sick, the dying, and those that are out there that are going to be ushered into this world, born into this world and out of this world. And there's so much that could go wrong with the human body during the lifespan. And it's very important that those that are in the medical profession strive to be well informed about topics that can benefit not only those that are in direct patient care with, but also those that are in your scope of influence and within your local communities. Because I do believe that those of us that are in the medical profession for the right reasons, you're among the healers of your generation, and you're meant to bring relevant information that can be understood for the masses, because everybody doesn't have medical background. And today we are going to bring all these nurses on and let's just start talking. So welcome everybody. Thank you for being here. And I can't wait to dive in. Let's start with Nurse Tori telling us her credentials.
Hi, thanks so much for having me. So I am a registered dietitian turned registered nurse, and you can find me on Instagram at the Tori Jensen. And I have gone from the hospital where I was working there clinically for over 10 years and now transitioned into doing full-time weight loss and hormone balance coaching for Christian women.
Wonderful. And David is so wonderful to have here because he has a lot of very interesting things in his background, but it includes psychiatric nursing. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, I was a registered nurse in an inpatient psychiatric setting at a hospital for about 10 years, and over the last few years, I've become interested in the carnivore diet because I live with someone that I've seen it make dramatic improvements in their health and gotten more involved in that community. And something that's always kind of made my ears perk up as a psych nurse is I hear person after person say, "Oh, and by the way, my mental health got better on this diet too." So that's kind of started me down the metabolic mental health rabbit hole.
Oh, yeah. And then we have Nurse Jody here that everyone knows out there. And Jody, what this is a passionate subject for you. Why is that?
Yeah, so my background is I have my master's degree in nursing. My specialties were critical care. But after I blew the whistle, I received my health and life coach certification and functional nurse practitioner certification. And yes, diets have been in my life, unfortunately, for the last 30 years. I was a normal, healthy weight until I became pregnant with my son at 16 and developed emotional eating habits from a horrible marriage that I was in with someone who was 16 years my senior. I actually just went through pictures and saw myself at 150, and I thought I was overweight then. I was 30 pounds from my starting weight, and I never got below that again. I did lose the weight, but then I got pregnant with my daughter at 20, and hovered around 160, 170. But through COVID, I gained 50 pounds. And so that emotional eating, just came back into my life. And that's how I really coped with a lot of what I was going through, not realizing it. Like many of you listening, you put on 10 pounds and you were like, whatever, it's the COVID 10. And then it became the COVID 20. Well, the whistleblower added another 30 to that. So I have tried everything under the sun, and thankfully now I am on my path of getting to my best self when I turn 50 this year. And so, as far as diets and stuff like that is concerned, I am going to echo what David said and say I think once we eliminate sugar essentially out of our diet, our brain is clear. We have more, cognitive function where the energy is there. And for me, if people do want to find out what I'm doing, I am starting actually with my health coach in my Truth Movement. It's a private membership community for women of faith who have struggled with sense of community, confidence, courage, and calling. And that is what we are starting actually next week. And it's going to be a 3-month workshop where he is going to come on live and help coach people in the style that he did with me. So it's amazing. Yeah, JodyOMalleyRN.com.
Yeah, we'll make sure to put that link in the show notes for everybody who wants to sign up for that. So there is a lot of different views that are going to be coming to the table because there's so much variance of people that are out there in our culture. And you can look at people walking around and think, oh my goodness, that person must not have a weight issue or a dieting issue because maybe they have the body you think you want to have. And you have no idea maybe what pathology that could have contributed to that or genetics that may have gone into that. And everybody definitely has different body types. And we may be able to address that today. I'm not sure if we can hit all topics today. But Tori, I'm going to let you just list out some of the major diets that people are most familiar with because the people that are out there, you'd be amazed how many people don't even know the difference between a vegan versus a vegetarian, right? So would you be able to give us a little bit, or I'll just list them and you could go over them?
Sure. Yeah, go ahead. Whatever you want
Okay.
to chat
So a
about.
vegan versus a vegetarian.
So a vegetarian is no animals like poultry, steak, meat, but they eat animal products. Okay, so they'll eat eggs, they'll eat dairy, they'll eat honey. Honey's even a honey, vegans don't eat honey. So then a vegan doesn't eat any animal byproducts, right? So byproducts would be like dairy or the honey. So That's the biggest difference between those. So if you're vegetarian, it's a lot easier to meet your nutrition needs in terms of getting enough protein, enough micronutrients, specifically B12. If you're vegan, it can be difficult to eat meat, adequately meet all of your nutrition needs because it's missing some key nutrients. Protein, iron, B12, those are some common ones that a lot of vegans have to supplement.
Okay. All right. And then we also have out there intermittent fasting, the keto diet, carnivore, and Optava that come out to my mind. We don't have to go over each one of those in depth because I think we're going to hit some of them anyways today. But if you want to hit any one of those, obviously the carnivore one is primarily people focusing on meat. And I think it's David that's very well versed in that. But if you want to just hit it quickly, that's okay.
Absolutely. And so I think to kind of a lot of these diets are similar with like subtle nuances and the reasons that they work. So if you kind of just want to look at a lot of diets are like the vegan vegetarian, that's not a weight loss diet. A lot of people use that to facilitate weight loss because it eliminates more processed food, but you can still have a ton of processed food being a vegan or a vegetarian. For example, the Beyond Meat, that whole movement of like, and it's just highly processed food. So have to like distinguish between like the ones you just mentioned are usually specifically used for weight loss, but then they also have other benefits. Like the ketogenic diet, for example, that's where your body uses fat for fuel instead of sugar. So if you understand that, I'm going to explain that really quickly because I think it really helps to, it'll filter, it'll make the other ones kind of more clear as to why they work. So you've got your body works on carbohydrates or very effectively, and that's where most of us are living. Carbohydrates being from, you know, fruits, vegetables, whole grains, nuts, seeds have, those are nice whole foods versions of carbohydrates, but then you have the processed sugar. So bread and pasta and fruit juices and ice cream and candy, all that, right? And then you've got your body working over here in ketosis. And that's running primarily off of fat. And it's like a backup generator. So for times of fasting, like our ancestors, they'd go days without food and they're able to live because our body kicks over from processing sugar as our main source of fuel to processing fat for our main source of fuel. And there's a lot of benefits there because now you're able to use for fat loss, right? You're able to use the fat that's stored versus always adding to it. So that's a real benefit. But also you have blood sugar control benefits because your insulin level is lower with ketosis and it's not constantly stimulating insulin, which is our storage hormone, and also decreased inflammation. So there's multiple benefits there. Intermittent fasting gets you into a bit of ketosis, right? So we're talking about that fat burning state where we're giving your body, intermittent fasting could also be called time restricted feeding. So you have an eating window and you have a fasting window. And this is just a beautiful thing because we weren't meant to be constantly feeding our body because it can't do other things. So to it, our body's if our body's constantly having to focus on digesting food, and it's constantly putting out insulin because we're feeding it all the time, that's going to cause insulin resistance ultimately and problems. So intermittent fasting is great because it gives your body a time period to not have to eat constantly, right? But there's also problems from that. And there's also problems from long-term ketosis, specifically for what I do with like female hormones. So there is a place for all of these things, but we kind of have to look at the big picture. And there are differences between men and women and how they respond to these different diets. And I don't know if I touched what the other ones that you mentioned were.
Optava, I think is how you pronounce it, is one of those. What do you know about that one?
Well, and then that was like another. And so if we're looking at, okay, we've got ketosis, right? And intermittent fasting, those kind of benefits there just from not your body's using different fuel sources. Optava is what we call a low calorie diet. And so then there's a lot of diets that work and you get results early on because they're so low calorie, but then, cause so your body's like, oh, great. Okay. So you go from eating more than your body needs to eating less than your body needs. And that works for a time, but then your body has a set point because our body is fantastic at keeping us alive. And so our metabolism actually slows. A lot of these low calorie diets, you'll also lose muscle. And so ultimately it hurts your metabolism. And then when you are no longer doing the low calorie diet, like so many of us have done, right? Now our metabolism's even lower. So we cannot eat without gaining weight. And so then we get on this cycle of dieting, and it's a vicious cycle. And so I would say there's a ton of, like, some of those you mentioned, a lot of them are just severely calorie restricted, and that's why they work. But then how many of you have done one of those diets and you're no longer doing it, and you lost weight, but you gained it all back? And that is basically, like, I could just, like, pretty much all of those you listed, that they can all fall under that umbrella.
Yeah. Something you mentioned on a previous time we were talking that is so important is the need for a nutritionist to be involved with your life when you are trying to figure out what it is that keeps making you be in this perpetual cycle of what feels like success, failure. So I thought we'll address that today too, but because Jody had mentioned that things had affected her based on her life circumstances, that and people that I know who have had severe issues in their life with dieting, the way it became evident to me that these people in my life had dieting issues that were actually in the mental health area, David, was because they counted and looked at every label. They read everything. They asked everything about, do you know how many calories are inside this particular food? They were counting and denying themselves based on numbers. And I noticed that they were extremely neurotic about looking at themselves in the mirrors, and they were always checking their body and their external body image, and their external appearance was so paramount in their mindset that the mental health components that could literally go back to a childhood experience, something about your family, the way you were brought up, that women have, especially when it comes in women, the incredible pressure for women to look a certain way that the media may be propelling. Because when you look back at art from the past, like in the Renaissance period, you have extremely curvy women with a lot of weight on their bodies, and they're the ones they're painting. It's not little twiggy, tiny little bodies that they're doing that of, but our generation definitely is promoting the very, very thin women. So there's all this pressure, and our kids are being experiencing that kind of pressure within their school environment because it's just such a dog-eat-dog, Darwinian popularity kind of contest. So David, you've seen a lot of that probably in the psychiatric world, the mental health impact. Would you like to address that for us?
Sure, absolutely. The criteria for when something becomes a disorder is when it is impacting your life in such a negative way, like you are so obsessed with it that it's interfering with your mental health and your daily life. You know, it's normal to check the scale every now and then. It's normal to worry about what you eat, but there comes a point where you're spending so much time and energy and stress on it that it really starts to impact you in negative ways. And it's a sort of thing that can snowball, that can make you lose sleep, and then your sleep is worse, and your cortisol's off, and then you're putting on more weight, and then you're obsessing even more. It really can get people in a nasty kind of feedback loop where they just get worse and worse. And this is a really difficult day and age for people in this country, because our nutrition is worse than ever, but we're also still constantly inundated with, impossible beauty standards. Everybody has filters on their phones and their computers, so they're taking selfies, and their phone automatically, you know, fixes them up a little and makes them look better. And everybody on the cover of a magazine has been photoshopped and has a dietitian working with them. And it's made it harder than ever for people to be healthy and not be obsessed with their weight and their nutrition. We have an ongoing mental health crisis that's getting worse and worse, and we have an ongoing metabolic health crisis that's getting worse and worse. Rates of depression and suicide have never been higher. Rates of obesity and diabetes have never been higher. And it's not a coincidence that those things are increasing together. They're very much linked.
Yeah, I just thought of another stat that we probably should add to this that actually probably does contribute, that I do remember seeing a stat that porn viewership increased massively over the period of the lockdowns. And within porn, there's always the filtering, the false appearance of the way a person looks, the way, especially the women, that they're doing things to make sure that these women look unnaturally, falsely beautiful, let's just say. And so men who are being exposed to that, and if they have an addiction rate of porn that's quite high, these people are in relationships with their partners who they're having mental health impacts. They're actually harming their partners by their own mental health addiction to porn that has glued into their brains a way of looking at women that is not possible. No woman can actually satisfy what maybe is inside the pornographic mind. So we have a significant problem culturally that in our free society, so many things have been propelled out and so much has been put on the media that has damaged the mindset, that probably the mental health has more to do with this than we realize. Plus, Tori, you probably agree, and Jody, you probably can speak to this too, that there are people that are born, you know, under 5 foot tall. There's only so much space in a person 5 foot tall versus somebody who's 5'10" or something like that. There's a lot more space to distribute whatever you consume. So Tori or Jody, you want to weigh in on that component?
Well, I look at it as everybody has issues, you know, and their family. I look at it really from a biblical perspective of maybe generational curses, right? You have families that do deal with, say, alcoholism. You have families that do deal with obesity, and really getting down to the root cause of why someone is overweight. You know, we used to say, oh, they're big boned. Like, let's just say my son, for example, my oldest son, he was extremely tall, and everybody loved that he could eat well, right? They're like, oh, JJ's such a good eater. You know, let's just feed him. Whenever we would go to family events, and it was a huge family, you know, it was always like, you know, feed him, feed him, feed him. And he used food as coping as well. You know, he actually was on the show, The Biggest Loser, for their season 16. He was a D1 athlete. And so he got in on the athlete edition of season 16 and almost won. You know, he had left here, look at this. So when he went home to compete for at home prize, he left because his grandma had died, and he went to Chicago and, you know, was involved in that. And he was like 5 pounds away, but he looks back at it and he's like, man, did I mess up because of, you know, everything, the food is involved in every single aspect of someone's life. You know, think about like alcohol, right? It's easy to eliminate that. You just don't do it. But for food, it's a whole beast unto itself, because you are eating food when you're sad, you're happy, you're angry, you know, somebody dies, somebody gets married, there's a baby shower, you know what I'm saying? Food, and you have to eat to live, right? And like you had talked about, you know, not really having that problem, you know, you live to eat, not live to eat to live. And I think that's why the number one diet that really that you said on Forbes was Noom. Noom is psychological. So it helps you understand the psychological elements of weight loss. Really, Dr. Urso speaks to this all the time. And he says, it's not that hard. It's not that hard. Well, it's really not that hard, you know, to get your body to a normal weight. But for many people, the vast majority, they are overweight because of some underlying emotional eating disorder. You know, I know people like, say, my friend, for example, a good friend of mine was a fitness model. And over COVID, she put on a ton of weight. And she didn't want to go out of the house, and she didn't. She went to work in her scrubs and she came home, and she wound up putting on 50 pounds. She got on that Ozempic like every other nurse in the freaking country, it seems like, that the rave diet is going around, and she did lose the weight. And she was telling me, girl, I don't know, like with your platform, why don't you just get on this? And, you know, for me, my worth and confidence isn't tied to what I look like. Thank God. Right. I've always been celebrated for having curves. You know, in Chicago where I grew up, it was in a multicultural area where they liked thick women. You know what I mean? And even when I was 135, I still had thighs and a hip. You know, so, but for her, you know, I told her, like, she could not eat. She was throwing up every day. She couldn't eat like a bird. And I said, you understand what's happening. You're just delaying, you know, your stomach from emptying, causing your mind to think that you're full. And she said, listen, I did not want to live at that weight. So she was willing to accept the consequences. She said, if she has to be nauseous and vomit every day, she would rather do that than be at the weight she was.
Those are big things that we're going to have to bring up after the break. We're going to need to cut for a break and for our intermission for our sponsors. Don't forget to check out our online store at AmericaOutloud.shop, where you can find all our products that make it possible for us to bring you these wonderful Q&As and shows on our network at a discounted rate, including the Nurses Out Loud sponsor, ASEA. Check out ASEA's powdered dietary supplement performance packs. ASEA redox cell signaling molecules are not only natural, but redox molecules are native to your body. Check out the variety pack with redox energy, mind, and mood, which includes 10 of each. My 16-year-old son loves using ASEA's mind powder drink when he's stuck having to cram for a test, or Nurse Michelle has kept up way too late doing some work. And if he studies way too late, he has to have that. But he also loves to use the energy drink from ASEA right before he goes off to play a game on the baseball field or the basketball court, just to give him that extra boost from a natural product. Because when you feel strong, you are strong. Use promo code OUTLOUD to save 15% off your purchase. I'll catch you on the other side of the break, and we will pick back up where we left off. Stay with us.
It's time, and this is what
ASEA believes, that inside each of us is the potential to feel and be our very best. Our customers will tell you how our products have made a difference for them, from improving immune health, regulating hormone balance, supporting gut health, to soothing the skin, even reducing the appearance of wrinkles, fine lines, and cellulite, and providing targeted support for mind, mood, energy, and even our body's own production of collagen. Make our breakthrough products an essential step in becoming your best self and fulfilling your greatest potential. ASEA, we power potential. For exclusive savings, use code OUTLOUD to save 15% off your first order today.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with Heal Right. Heal Right is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, Heal Right is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit healright.com/outloud or AmericaOutloud.shop. And use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
58 million people suffer from joint aches and stiffness in the US every day. Ignoring chronic joint discomfort can affect mobility and your quality of life. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created Joint Health and Mobility to support connective tissue, joint lubrication, and reduce joint irritation with curcumin, omega-3, chondroitin, glucosamine, and hyaluronic acid for joint comfort and flexible range of motion. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with clinically proven ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients. You would need to take 11 pills to get the same amount of nutrients in each gel pack. And these great-tasting gels come in a small packet. Tear off the top, shoot it down, or mix it in water. It's 100% drug-free joint support. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company launched the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. The Wellness Company's chief medical board designed every supplement and medical protocol with your health in mind. From groundbreaking supplements like the Spike Support Formula to unique care like Freedom from Big Pharma, Join a healthcare system that puts your health and well-being above the interest of Big Pharma's bottom line. It's the way healthcare should be, with a company that shares your values. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
I'm so confused. I don't know what to do.
I'm afraid of going to the hospital.
My doctor tells me nutrition doesn't work.
Trust is earned. We are the Energetic Health Institute, and we want to earn your trust. Natural medicine, holistic nutrition, detoxification, fasting, cellular healing, and so much more. Remember, the best way to be free is to be healthy. So stop being a patient and start being a student at energetichealthinstitute.org.
When God, through His grace and mercy, gave us free will, the will of the people was to live freely. To that end, we fight for the liberty of all at a time when global tyranny threatens us as never before in mankind's history. This vision is manifest at AmericaOutLoud.news, a site for all who cherish free will and freedom. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back to Nurses Out Loud. We're going to pick up where we left off. We're talking about dieting in general today and looking at all the components that go into why people are feeling like they're struggling with lose, gain, and what are the real root causes of what's actually going on. And where Jody left off with us, we discussed the impact of the mental health that's going on inside the minds of all of us. And it comes from a place where we've all had different experiences as children, and the traditions and habits of your family lifestyle. And something that dawned on me was that I'm more than half of 100 right now. And in my age group, I've witnessed in the generation of my lifespan, witnessing within conservative communities, if you're a very religious person, that the religious entities out there and the churches are really anti the word psychology, anti the concept of psychology, as if it was something that came in to threaten religion. And in doing that, it kind of diminished the impact that we are mind, body, soul, and spirit. We're not just a body that's obeying Christian mindsets. We actually have a mind that is capable of being traumatized and harmed by experiences in our life that can change habits that we have in our life. And then also terrible incidences can happen to people that change the way that they deal with stress in their life, and that can alter them. We have people that are genetically built a certain way, and then we have a component that, and that family, when I tried to talk my family out of always doing Thanksgiving at a massive, insane, women are cooking ourselves to death that whole day, I wanted everybody to vote and say, can we just do lobster? I think the actual original people did lobster. Can we just skip all this food? And nobody wanted to veto all the cooking of the women, so we're stuck with it. And of course, you know, we know what goes with that, but Jody mentioned the fact that when we come together to family gatherings and what we value at weddings and things like that, it does circle around food, and different people come to those weddings. So everybody that's coming to that wedding isn't coming from the same family mindset. So it does impact us. And Tori had mentioned that she's going to address that in just a moment, how a lot of what she does is about helping people reprogram their minds that's good for their health. And David, I know that you have some wonderful insight on this, and I'd love you to talk about your experiences with the carnivore diet as well. But mental health, this is a large part of what we're talking about today.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely. So I've had an interesting journey in my understanding of metabolic mental health. Like I said, I was a nurse for 10 years in a hospital setting. And in that setting, the patients on the psychiatric unit, they get a lot of ultra-processed foods, they get a lot of carbs, and they get a lot of sugar. And they also get a lot of medications. Something interesting as I started to learn about metabolic mental health, I never knew that the keto diet was actually the standard of care for epilepsy back in the day. And it was very effective. And I don't say it's very effective based off studies from 100 years ago. I mean, they've studied it much more recently, and it's still very effective for epilepsy. Now, you look at the medications that we currently give for things like bipolar disorder and other psychiatric disorders. We give a lot of anti-seizure meds. We don't really talk about, hey, maybe you should try keto. It'll help with your mental health. So for me, I call myself carnivore adjacent. I live with somebody, my girlfriend, who has an autoimmune disease. And like many, many other people, she went down a rabbit hole online where she found communities of people with autoimmune diseases who put their diseases in full remission on a carnivore diet. And so she tried it, and it was nearly miraculous. She was able to go off of not just her medications for her ankylosing spondylitis, but also her blood pressure medications, put her symptoms in full remission, which they hadn't been for 20 years, and did it all through what she ate. And she was eating carnivore. So carnivore means that she's eating an animal-based diet, things like bacon, steak. She does do dairy. Some people don't. It kind of varies person to person. And that's how she eats. It's not how I eat. I still eat fruits and vegetables, although I moderate them pretty well because I can get away with it. What I hear from so many people in the carnivore community is if they slip up, it's a really good reminder that they're eating that way for a reason, because their symptoms will come back. And what really, really made my ears perk up as I would listen to hundreds of people tell their story about their carnivore journey is they started the diet because of IBS or because of Crohn's or because of Hashimoto's or something like that. And they would say, almost as a happy side effect, oh, by the way, my depression and anxiety got better. And I lost 30 pounds. I lost 50 pounds. I lost 100 pounds. And they weren't adapting that lifestyle for that reason. And then I compare that to all the patients that I've worked with at the hospital. Nobody sings the praises of their antidepressants or their antipsychotics like that. I'd never heard any patient as excited to talk about how much their mental health improved because of their medications. Usually the best you get is like, yeah, I guess my depression's better. But you look at the metabolic side effects of these medications, the amount of weight gain that you can get from antipsychotics. I've seen somebody put on 70 pounds in 1 month after they started an antipsychotic. You look at the efficacy of antidepressants. Antidepressants are better at causing sexual dysfunction than they are at treating depression. So you compare those medications to people who change their diet, and it's unbelievable that this isn't the baseline standard of care, that we're not paying more attention to getting people to clean up their diet. And I don't mean that everybody with a mental health disorder should eat carnivore. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that I think there is a foundation that applies to nearly everyone that will help them improve their metabolic health, and that is to eliminate ultra-processed foods, sugars, carbs, seed oils. And I don't know. I'm not the registered dietitian and nurse here, so maybe Tori can weigh in a little bit on kind of that foundation that might be applicable to everyone. Because I don't think there's one size fits all, but there are some things that I think it's safe to say probably everyone should avoid.
Yeah, Tori, let's weigh in on that because there's a lot of reprogramming that needs to be done. What do you have to say about that?
Yeah, well, so it sounds like the benefits that your girlfriend's getting are from the carnivore diet, which a lot of people are, is because she's probably in ketosis. So she is getting the anti-inflammatory benefits that I talked about earlier from having low insulin, low controlled blood sugar. Her body's now running off of ketones rather than sugar for energy. And that does help to decrease the excitability of your neurons in your brain. Also, when you have a lower sugar, it helps to repair the gut microbiome. And so something I didn't even hear about, like not even a 5-minute talk when I was in college to become a dietitian, was the gut microbiome. But we hear about it everywhere now, and thank goodness, because we're understanding that the trillions of bacteria that live in our gut and on our skin are really important to the symbiosis, to our overall health. And so you improve your gut health through getting rid of the sugar, because the bad bacteria loves the sugar. Cancer also loves the sugar. So if someone's like, hey, I just got a cancer diagnosis, what do you recommend? I'm like, well, fasting and ketosis can help to increase the effectiveness of your treatments. Of course, I'm not an oncologist, but we know that cancer proliferates with sugar. So like sugar is not bad. And this is where I want to make a distinction. So most of my clients, I work with women who are trying to lose weight, balance their hormones, have all tried keto, have all tried intermittent fasting, have all tried Noom, have all tried Weight Watchers, and they have maybe lost weight, but gained it back. And why? Because it's not sustainable for Thanksgiving. It's not, they really like Oreos. So like, what do you do with that? Right now, David's girlfriend, she has some physical symptoms that make it not worth it to her. Like, it's just not worth it. But for those of us that are just trying to lose weight, like when we get tired, when we get stressed out, we go back to our old coping mechanisms, which may be cookies or ice cream or the comfort stuff. We don't have other coping mechanisms, so we use food. So this is why the restrictive diets, again, they have their benefits, like we've been talking about, right? They have their time and their place, but long-term, most people don't want to be on a restrictive diet like that. So what do we do? What do we do? If carbs are bad for us, then we should all be in ketosis all the time. But we also know that that's not great for our hormones, but it does have some benefits for inflammation and for weight loss, right? So what's the happy medium? How do you eat carbs, but also control your blood sugar? And that's the key. Every single person alive, babies, kids, adults, old people, athletes, like no matter what you're dealing with, you need to control your blood sugar, period, end of story. I will sing that till the cows come home. And you won't find anyone that disagrees with that. Isn't that interesting, right? You won't find anyone that says, oh, no, blood sugar control doesn't matter at all. Like, nope, doesn't matter at all. And that is 85% of our population is insulin resistant, meaning there is a communication problem between insulin and your cells. So insulin is the key that unlocks the cell, the door to your cell, and lets the sugar that you eat go into it and be used as energy. So when you have a communication problem, usually it's because of elevated blood sugar over time. And what happens with that is the key and the lock stop talking well. And what your body does is it produces more insulin, which causes more resistance. So it's this like feedback mechanism. But if we can control our blood sugar, even eating pasta and, you know, the occasional donuts. This is what I teach people, because if you understand how to control your blood sugar, you can do it no matter where you are, what you're doing. If you're at Thanksgiving, if you're at a potluck, if you're traveling, and that's powerful, right? But you can also choose within that. You can also choose varying degrees of like what makes you feel better. I don't eat dairy, or I don't eat gluten, or I, you know, want to focus on more of a plant-based diet. Like, doesn't matter. Blood sugar control matters for all of it.
Okay. I love everything that she just exposed, but I want to make sure that those that are out there that maybe are new to the dieting world, or you don't have the medical background to know what ketosis is, I'm going to let Tori define that for us. And then also what she's referring to about the blood sugar control, you may think, okay, that's what my diabetic grandma does. She pricks her finger every morning. So I'm going to let Tori also address, how do people actually measure their blood sugar? And I think, David, your girlfriend has a way of doing that. So let's address that so that we can educate the people that don't know what ketosis actually is.
Absolutely. Earlier in the show, we talked about the differences, but ketosis is where your body's processing fat for fuel versus, it's like a backup generator, versus where we mostly live, where you're processing carbohydrates for your preferred source of fuel. So when you go for long periods of time for starvation, let's say you do a 2-day fast, by the end of that 2 days, you'll probably be fully in ketosis. Meaning that your body's kind of switched over to using whatever fat stores you have. And even thin people have quite a few fat stores because every cell of our body has them. And so it's an amazing survival mechanism that God built into our system. We're really not supposed to live there, I don't believe. And I like, from a biblical perspective, our ancestors eating carbohydrate diets, like bread, right? They were eating bread and meat. That's pretty much what they could eat. They were eating whatever they had access to, but then they would go for periods of starvation, I'm sure, or lack of access to food, and they would kick over into ketosis. And there's a lot of benefits there in terms of when you are through a fasting period as well. And this is a little bit different than we're talking about fasting and ketosis together, that your body does something called autophagy, where it clears out bad cells. So God had us like built, fasting should be built into our makeup. But I work with mostly women with hormonal imbalances. And it's really hard if you are in already have hormonal imbalances, or your body's already in a state of physiological stress from mental, emotional stress, from your blood sugar being out of control, from lack of sleep, or from over-exercising or under-eating. Those are like all things I commonly see. You're going to be, it's really hard for your body to fast and get benefits from it. It's going to cause further stress because your body wants to keep you alive. We have all these fail-safe mechanisms to keep us alive. They don't care what you look like in jeans or, what you look like in a bathing suit. Your body's always trying to conserve. So we have to find that happy medium where we're giving your body what it needs, but not more. So a fancy way of blood sugar control is really how do you fuel your body? And then if you're looking at, from a weight loss perspective too, giving your body what it needs, but not more. Because what happens, because our body is trying to keep us alive, if you eat in excess of what your body needs based on your height and your sex and your activity level, then your muscle mass, all these things play a role. If you eat in excess of that, then your body stores it. Cause it's like, oh, we might be going on a long journey in a few days where we need access to that. So it is really effective at storing it. So we just want to give our body what it needs, but not more. And that's what I teach in my courses and with my one-on-one clients.
Yeah. Why don't you go ahead and shout out about your program that people can sign up for while we're here?
Absolutely. Well, thank you for that. I have so much fun. You guys, I used to work in the hospital as a dietitian, then turned nurse, and it's a broken system in the sense that we're always playing catch up. And this is the same when you go to the doctor. You'll say, oh, great. Well, you're a little bit overweight and your blood work is showing you, you may have prediabetes and maybe your blood pressure is off and, oh, you're not sleeping well either. They're like, okay, why don't you take these pills and go home and lose some weight and then come back and let us know how it goes. But without giving us tools to do any of that. And the hospital is the same. We're just putting band-aids on acute situations. So really where it's at, like if you really want to improve your overall health, it needs to start at home. And you need to do consistent, you need to learn how to consistently put these things in practice, like stress management, sleep, nutrition, movement, and then mindset is like ties it all together. Because 95% of what I do is mindset, because once you can have the information, but you aren't applying it in a way that's going to be effective for you. And so kind of working through that stuff. And that's what I do in my one-on-one program with my clients. But on Instagram, I'm always giving away free information and tools and tips, trying to do it in a fun and accessible way for you guys. But I have a new course called The Sugar Solution, because when I polled my audience, what is your number one problem, what you think keeps you from losing weight? And all of them said sugar cravings. And I was like, oh, I love it. Because if you can manage sugar cravings, like you can prop, and that's like your thing, what causes you to overeat, then if you solve that problem, if you fuel your body appropriately, help manage your blood sugar, then the physical part of the sugar cravings is so much lower, then you can address the emotional piece of it. And you can feel more in control about your choices. So you front load it by doing the physical piece. And then you go, you know what? I actually don't want that ice cream. Like, I could have it if I want it, but I am okay. I'm satisfied. And I had the food that I love and I know I can have it and I'm not restricting. So it is a process. But when you can learn how to balance your blood sugar, which is what I teach in this mini course, it's under an hour. And I try to keep it fun and very applicable with like very specific action items for you. I have people that have said, oh my gosh, I didn't know any of this information. I wish someone had broken it down like this years ago for me. I have less cravings. I'm already sleeping better. I've already lost 5 pounds. Like,
how do they find you? I love it.
Yeah. On Instagram, the Tori Jensen, on my website, and you can find everything there in the link. I have tons of free resources and then like low cost digital products to really simplify this process for you guys. And then my application to work with me is also there.
Okay, wonderful. David, there's something that you actually, your girlfriend uses called Mojo about how she checks her glucose and her ketones. How does that work?
Yeah, so it's a device called Keto Mojo, and it's very similar to a blood glucose monitor where you prick your finger and get a little drop of blood. And it also has an app that tracks it over time, so it ties into your smartphone, and you do it just like you were checking your blood glucose, but it also tells you your blood ketones. So it's a way to experiment kind of with eating different things and checking your level of ketosis.
Is this something that people can just buy from Amazon?
Yeah, it's right on Amazon, and the test strips are on Amazon, and it's not very cost prohibitive. It's pretty affordable, and for somebody who's getting into it, it's a good investment because everybody's different. You know, there's no one right way to do any of these diets. Some people can do dairy, etc. Some people have different allergies and tolerances and genetics, and it's a way to help track what works for you, because you do need to do a lot of experimentation. I mean, talking about sugar addiction, some people, stevia, seems like a good sugar substitute, comes from a plant, it's natural, but for some people, it's going to trigger their sugar cravings really, really bad. Turns out I'm one of those people. I didn't really know I had an issue with that until I had cut sugar out for a while and then tried something with stevia. And I was like, oh my God, I'm like constantly walking to the fridge looking for something. And then, those mental health nurse skills check in, and I do that mindfulness check in where you kind of detach a little bit and assess what you're doing, what you're looking for, like what am I feeling right now, and yeah, the sugar addiction is a real thing.
That's also the artificial sugar is what happens there physiologically. Like your body thinks that you had something sweet, but it doesn't have the blood sugar response. And so it's like, what's happening? And so it makes your cravings for sugar worse. I still recommend, though, I'll tell you, a diet soda over a regular soda. I know.
I'm going to disagree with that one.
Well, that's fine. You can disagree with that. When you know how much sugar is in a regular soda, mm-hmm. you still, and I'm not saying like habitually, but right. it is incredible. Like I will have a diet soda over regular soda any day because of my metabolic health, like what mm-hmm. it would do to my blood sugar.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's one of those things where you have to understand, like, is it something you want every day? Now, like if you love soda, you know, and it's something you want every day, sure, it's okay to like maybe throw that in there, you know, but I think our body understands like cane sugar, you know, it's like the Mexican Cokes, for example, you know, that's made with cane sugar, not the high fructose corn syrup.
You throw it orange juice next to a soda.
Yeah.
Get the same blood sugar response.
No, it's sure. I agree
but
with that.
What that's doing on the inside versus what some chemicals that are, yes, cancer causing and not the greatest, and they also stimulate what the difference is on your insides. Mm-hmm. I would take the artificial sugar over that any day. Now that's just my personal opinion.
Yeah.
Let me just like break this down for your listeners, because it's one of my favorite things to do. If you look on a label and you look at added sugar, and it'll say every 4 grams is a teaspoon. So a soda is about 40 grams, like, you know, Coke, I think it's 39 grams sugar or something. So it's like 40 grams. So that's taking 10 teaspoons, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And I'm doing that for like effect, because you would never add that much sugar to like a sweet tea, right? You just wouldn't. I mean, even to make your tea taste like, I like a nice sweet tea, right? I lived in the South for a bit.
Same.
But it's when you know how much is in there, it makes it, I think, hit a little differently than just like, oh, it's just a little bit of sugar. You know, it's like, whoa, actually that's all the sugar you need in a meal for most people. And yeah. So then you add that on top of a meal, and your body's just like, it can't handle it, which is why we do this over and over again. We run into the insulin resistance, and it's like, you can have a soda, but how much, right? Mm-hmm. And really looking at how that's affecting your blood sugar over time.
You know, before we leave here, Michelle, I just want to weigh in because diabetes as a nurse was just my jam. And I just want people to understand that this is what's happening in their body. I would take the normal saline bag, right? The fluids that are hanging. And then I would tell them, you know, imagine this, like your blood sugar right now, it's 700 coming in. It's like molasses in your body. It's not moving around. The sugar is not in the cell anymore. It's in your blood. And that is why we can measure it with your blood sample. You know, so a normal healthy blood sugar, you know, would be under, you know, 100 waking up fasting, let's say, right? And when somebody comes in and they're, you know, having a glycemic, you know, episode, and they're at like $600 or $700 registering, I tell them, I go, imagine this. And this is what I want to leave listeners with. Like Tori was saying, our body is awesome at keeping us alive. And if you look at your core, where your heart, your liver, you know, your intestines, everything is, you have big blood vessels that are supplying those organs. As it goes out into our peripheral, like our fingers and our toes and our eyes, it gets smaller. And so that's why over time, you know, when you have a diet that's high in sugar and you have the inflammation, essentially it kind of stops going there effectively. That's when we start cutting off toes and below the knee and above the knee, and the eyesight starts going. So, you know, in the hospital, if somebody is a diabetic, they're on like 40 to 80 carbs a meal. So leaving this show, I want the listeners to look at that. Look at, like Tori was saying, with your label on the back of your food and count those carbs, and you'll see exactly how many carbs you are that you are taking in. It's not that hard to get 100 carbs in a meal. You know what I mean? So check that out. Look at the labels and add up your sugar and see how many carbs you're getting in the meal, and pay attention to serving size. Actually, portion it out, and you'll see, like a normal bowl of cereal, we're having two or three servings of that, right? So being mindful of that.
Yeah, I feel like what everybody has brought to, we could literally keep on going for probably 2 hours straight. There's so much to learn. And we already addressed on a previous Q&A, Ozempic and the risks associated to taking that drug. So it may be something that sounds real appealing right now to go jump on and get a pill that I don't have to figure out all this about ketosis and blood sugar and educate myself. But it is the only body you have. This is your one chance at life. You want to have the most optimal health that you possibly can. And we want you to find the most natural ways to get there, and pursuing health for your body and for your quality of life. So I'm so thankful for all the nurses here that were dedicated to educating people and showing that they are a patient advocate, which is what nurses should be. And we should be, it's a burden that we carry as people that feel like you've been called to be among the healers, to make sure that the people within our scope of influence actually have the knowledge they need to live that kind of quality of life. So thank you to each of you for being here and sharing all the knowledge that you bring to the table.
It's time.